Welcome back to Time Smart Talk with Steve-O. What's this Go Racer we got going here, Shannon?
It's the intro song to our guest today.
Oh, Go Speed Racer. Fantastic. Please join me in welcoming Julia Klucke, who is a speed racer. She is an accomplished Olympic American luger. And so I guess that's appropriate. Good choice.
Yeah. Thanks.
So welcome, Julia. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, great to be here.
You, we met a few weeks ago, and when you were recognized and inducted in the Maine Sports Hall of Fame.
We did.
So congratulations on that. That's a great accomplishment.
Thank you. It was
a wonderful day.
It was a great day.
And I want to talk about your fascinating career in the sport of luge. But why don't we start a little bit of background in terms of where you grew up and talk about where you went to school, and then we'll talk about how you first were introduced to luge, and we'll talk about what your experience has been in the Olympics and what are you doing moving forward.
Great. Sounds good.
So growing up in Augusta?
I did. I was born and raised in Augusta, Maine. Still live there today. Proud Mainer. Love coming back to Maine in my off season. And I graduated from Coney High School in 2003, and I first got involved in the sport of luge in 1997. The U.S. luge team travels around and does a recruitment tour, and they came to Portland in 1997, and a friend and I read about it in the paper, and the very bottom part of the ad was that we'd get a free t-shirt if we came out for the day to try the sport of luge, so we didn't know what it was, but we liked getting free t-shirts like most 11 and 12-year-old kids.
Who doesn't?
Exactly.
I mean, at sporting events, when they do that thing where they throw t-shirts in the stand, you think they were like gold nuggets or something. People love t-shirts.
Yeah.
So at that first recruitment effort, what was the test, and what made you think that you were interested or qualified to do luge, because there's only a few places in the whole North America where there's like official luge tracks. So.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, a very obscure sport in the country. Really, when I went, I didn't know what to expect. And being there for the 3 hours, it was nothing more than organized chaos. You know, they taught you how to steer the sleds. They had these luge sleds that had rollerblade wheels on them. They had blocked off the street for the day and had lined the street with hay bales in case kids went off course a little bit for safety measures. So they just taught you how to drive the sled, and you start halfway up the hill and worked your way up, and then they added some cones to make sure you could drive left, drive right. And then to finish off the day, they did some basic physical tests, pull-up tests, flexibility, a running test just to see your natural athleticism.
So is it more about just you having natural athleticism as opposed to you having some great luge magical?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. Coordination is really important. And now that I'm on this side of it and I participate in the recruitment of, you know, future athletes, you know, when I go to a city, the number one thing I look for is coachability and attitude. You know, you need a kid that's going to listen, that when you tell them, you know, steer a little harder, they go out and they do it that next run. And also that positive attitude helps a lot, kids that can listen and take information and use it to succeed.
Okay, so take us from Portland, where you got the t-shirt many years ago. And then what was the path that led you to competing in the 2010 Olympic Games and then trying out recently for the 2014, which you missed by 13 thousandths of a second, but we'll get to that.
Yep.
But take us, you know, so you got the t-shirt, you went home and you said, guess what? I may have talent at luge.
Yeah, I honestly went home and was like, that was a great day. Like, I'm really glad we went out. It was so, you know, it wasn't really like anything I had done to that point. I mean, you're going down a street feet first, about 6 inches off the ground, and there's not much that compares to that. But then a couple months passed, and I got a letter in the mail inviting me to go to Lake Placid, New York, which is where the U.S. luge team is based out of, and try it in the wintertime for like a week-long training camp, basically the next step of the trial process. Because doing it on the street is one thing, but obviously the on-ice sliding is different, and that's really what matters.
Maybe we should back up just a minute, because everyone's watched the Winter Olympics and is familiar with bobsled and luge, but why don't you explain specifically what luge is and how it compares to the other sledding sports, from bobsled and on, you know, some people go down face first, some laid back, but specifically your sport of luge, why don't you describe what it is and what the equipment is like, and And then we can talk about how terrifying it is to go flying down the ice track.
Yeah, so bobsled is probably the most known sport. That's the big, huge sled where they run and jump in.
Is it either two-man or two-woman or four?
Yeah, two-man or four-man. Cool Runnings obviously put that sport on the map big time a while ago. But
those folks are protected more.
They are more protected.
And so they're in.
And we're faster. We're the fastest.
Luge is the fastest. Yep. And the big sleds... to me, it's and I don't know much about the sport, but it seems like the start and the push is so critical. But when you watch the four-man bobsled and having all four men or women jump in, it's like, how does that happen?
Yeah, that's what they spend most of their summer doing is practicing that timing. You know, they have a facility where they run and jump in.
Right.
Similarly, we have a start facility where we practice because the start is so crucial for our sports because it's the only point where you're actually accelerating yourself. After that, you know, everyone's sliding on the same track.
So a hundredth of a second at the start can be the difference between...
Any time you have at the start, if you have a perfect run, is three times that at the bottom.
Wow.
You know, roughly with our sport. And like you said, I missed out the Olympics by 13 thousandths of a second, so every little bit counts.
So talk about your sport of luge in terms of the equipment and the tracks, and then we'll talk about what you're doing.
So luge is the fastest of the three sports. We go feet first on our backs. And it's also, the reason we're the fastest is one, we're more aerodynamic because we are smaller. And two, you know, we have an inside edge to our steels, which gives us more control when we're sliding down the track. So a lot of time when people watch luge, they think we're just lying there because they don't see a lot of movement on the sled. But in actuality, our sleds are so flexible, we're doing small movements the whole way down. And that's why we're able to cut through the pressure and go faster. So I say we look a little prettier than the bobsled, which usually have big waves.
I know. They have big waves and they're clunky and all that. So with luge, you know, part of it is aerodynamics, right?
Aerodynamics.
So you're wearing a suit that's super wind tested, right?
Yep. So in the summertime, we take new materials to a wind tunnel in San Diego. We've done it for the past 12 years to, you know, make sure our suits are the fastest material that we know of. Things are always evolving. And then also, you know, the fit is really important. So the beginning of each season, we'll take about 30 measurements of our bodies and they'll to make sure the suit fits you exactly as a person.
Is there a prototypical luge? Is it referred as driver, not rider, you know, athlete? Luge?
I would say slider is the most common term.
Is there an ideal... physicality for the slider, because having to do with weight, which helps you with gravity, but then you need muscle to push off, and then you need low mass to go through the wind. What's the ideal physical type to be? Would I be able to do it? What I'm getting at, Julia, is I have the weight, and so I naturally think I could be a pretty good luger. What do you think, Shani? Could I could be a luger?
Absolutely.
Okay, but would that work?
So weight is definitely important. We're a gravity-based sport, but also aerodynamics come into play. So for me, I think being a bigger athlete that can carry weight more, you know, proportional so that you're not cutting into that aerodynamics aspect of the sport.
So you're saying I'd have an aerodynamic problem, aren't you?
Tends to go a little bit better.
Okay.
You know, particularly where we are with science and technology, you know, the changes being made in our sport are so small, but can add up to be so much. So, you know, we really look at everything. And then as far as, you know, body portion, whether you're, you know, your legs are bigger or whatnot, that just comes down to the balance on the sled. So you work your equipment to basically match your body type. You know, all of my teammates, we all have our own sled and we work with them individual to get them set up perfectly for us as athletes. And what I'm riding can be completely different than, you know, my male teammates or even my other female teammates.
In the sleds themselves, the luge sleds are basically two razor sharp rails, and there's a lot of, I'm sure, research about the metal materials and how thin the edges are. And then the platform you're laying back on, which has to do with aerodynamics. And how much advancement in that technology have you seen just in the time you've been in luge?
So much. We're always testing new materials, new coatings on the steels, new angles of the steels, the bow of the steel. You know, there's a lot of different elements which can be great but also frustrating. There's a lot of things you can go to try to make changes, but then there's almost too much that you can change, and then you don't have a good baseline of what you're comparing against. So it's very easy to become a perfectionist in the sport of luge because of all the different elements.
I guess you're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve on News Talk WLOB 1310 AM. We have Julia Klucke here. She competed in the 2010 Olympic Winter Games in luge, barely missed out in 2014, but I'm sure she's going to be back. And she was recently inducted in the Maine Sports Hall of Fame. So the first time you went to Lake Placid, and I'm sure there's probably different stages at the luge track when you're beginning in the junior program, but the first time you laid back on the sled, it looks to probably novices like you just lay back and you kind of slide down, but it has to be terrifying at some point.
Yeah. I always say that we look at for young kids before right. They know better what they're getting themselves into, and they get kind of addicted to it. For my very first run, I was like completely hooked. I grew up skiing. I was always tennis, basketball, soccer, but I really took to the sport of luge, the feeling I had of adrenaline rush and being in control, you know, of the sled. I was only 11, obviously, but it didn't match anything else I was doing at that time in my.
And it also seems like, just from an observer and a viewer, that part of it is, since your helmet in your head creates wind resistance, to, you know, your success is how low you can keep your head back, but at the same time, you have to have visual. You have to be able to see where you're going. So even that has to be very technical, where you want to kind of look up, but you have to almost lay back.
Yeah, so again, you know, aerodynamics are everything. So we do use a lot of a peripheral vision. And then, you know, as you get experience as a slider, you know, years after years, so much of it starts to come from feeling. You know, when you enter a curve too much to the right, you're going to know because, you know, you might go really high and you can feel that. We reach up to 5 G's of pressure, and at that high speed, you feel the pressure on your body, and you know that what goes up is probably going to come back down. So to drive a little harder or a little lighter, push your to change. And that's really why it takes so long to develop in the sport of luge, you know, why it took me, you know, 12 years to make my first Olympic team, because you need all those runs to learn from those bad experiences, I guess.
And what are the speeds that luge, and then we'll talk about the speed, and then also are each luge track, you competed in the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, but are all the luge tracks similar in design, or are they all completely unique to whatever mountain or location you're at?
So the fastest track is Vancouver. My fastest speed there was 91 miles an hour, and the fastest speed recorded was 96 miles an hour by a male athlete. And then as far as the tracks themselves, they are all built uniquely different. You know, there's elements that every track has to have, so many left turns, so many right-hand turns, you know, variables, curves in the same direction, but they're all uniquely different. You couldn't take a set of lines from one track and take it to another track and be successful. So it's understanding the individual.
So how much time does it take to train in a new track to feel comfortable competing at the highest level?
There's still a track that I don't feel comfortable on at all, and it's been 16 years now, a track in Germany. You know, when we go show up to races in other countries, we only get 6 runs of training before we have to race, so you have to get comfortable pretty quick.
Wouldn't that favor the home team?
It does significantly, and you know, that's so we have a race in Lake Placid, New York next year, which we're excited about. It's our home race, and we're lucky to have one a year. Well, the Germans have 4 a year, so it's tough to for the overall standings and everything when you have half of your races in one country's advantage.
So let's talk about your career. You've competed since age 13, competing junior level, and you've had success in World Cup, and you've been ranked. So in 2010, you qualified for the U.S. Olympic team. And so you were part of the team in Vancouver where you finished 17th, which is fantastic. I'm sure you wish you would have done better, but to say that you're the 17th best of anything in the world, if I could be like the 17th best anything, yeah. A checker player, pogo, that would be out of billions of people. That's, you know, it's unfathomable. So congratulations on that. And in February of 2012, you captured 2 silver medals in World Cup competition. So in 2014, take us back to kind of the qualification for the last Olympic team, which ultimately went to Sochi, Russia. And I'm sure you're proud of your success in the sport, but it had to be just very disappointing to miss being on the team by 13/1000ths of a second.
Yeah, it was certainly, you know, a very difficult time for me. You know, how we pick the team for the luge is a little bit complicated, more complicated than it has to be, where we do rankings within rankings, you know. So it worked out, you know, that a 9th place ranks you a lot higher than even a 10th place, you know, finish. So it'd be tough for me to talk about it and give an abbreviated version. But it basically comes off of World Cup races. And, you know, in the final race, I needed a 5th place finish to secure my spot. And I missed that by 13/1000ths of a second, which is, you know, a fingernail over the course of 2 miles of racing. So I've almost let it go, I'll say.
Until I brought it up. You were probably past it. And then all of a sudden, you know, Steve-O brings it up. And it's like, why are you doing that? Why are you bringing that
up? No, it's okay. It's, you know, that's sport. You win some, you lose some. And I, you know, I trained my tail off, and there's not much I would change, you know, personally, looking back on the way my season went. And at the end of the day, you know, luge is what I do, but it's not who I am. And, you know, I'm equally as passionate and proud of the other things I've been able to do, you know, off my sled in my career.
Well, let's talk about some of that in the next few minutes. Each summer you host the Julier Klucke Camp for Girls at Camp KV on Marin Cook Lake in Redfield, Maine. How did that start? And talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I'm spokesperson for the Maine Beer and Wine Distributors Association, and I'd spent, you know, from 2010 to 2012 traveling the state speaking to high school students about, you know, setting goals for themselves and not being afraid to set big goals and how important it is to work really hard and to make healthy decisions for themselves. And I approached the president, Nick Alberding, about doing something female-specific. Being a female athlete, I saw a need to be a positive role model to that demographic. So I suggested doing like a day-long clinic sort of thing with different discussions, and he came back with the idea of doing a summer camp. And I'm not really one to say no to anything, you know, particularly when young kids are involved. So it kind of just grew from there, and we approached the Kennebec Valley YMCA, which is, you know, in my hometown in Augusta. I grew up there, and proposed the idea of them, of the partnership, and they were very excited about it. And it's just grown from there. We're over the third year this year.
So is that later this month, June
17th? Yep. It's the last 2 weeks in June, right after school gets out.
Well, fantastic. And for your website, which is klukeyluge.com, right?
Yes.
KlukeyLuge.com. So people can go there and find out all kinds of information. Mm-hmm. You're also active on, boy, you've got every social media.
Yeah.
On Facebook, which is Facebook.com/Julia Klucke. You're on Twitter, Julia Klucke. It's great when you can have your name and you own it in Twitter.
I don't even know if there's another Julia Klucke. I haven't come across one yet.
As opposed to Julia Klucke 4321, you know.
When you can't even remember it yourself.
I know. Well, in the next few minutes, talk a little bit about what's in your future relative to sport and relative to luge, and are you continuing to train, and talk about what the future looks like for you?
Yep, I am continuing to train. It's hard to take much time off from the gym for me. It's such a lifestyle thing for me the past 16 years, and I've just recently started to really think about what I want my competitive seasons to look like going forward, and if I have, you know, the passion and push to keep going in the sport of luge. I'm going to take it a year-by-year basis, so I'll compete some next year. I'm really excited about a home World Cup in Lake Placid, New York. It's my favorite place to race because my friends and family can come over and cheer me on. And then from there, it's just going to be really a year-by-year thing, making sure that I have the full energy and passion to put into the sport. And, you know, if I'm going to do something, I like to do it fully. And it takes a lot to be at this level in the sport.
And so I'm sure there's a luge association. So, and do they provide training facilities and help you? How organized is that? And what are the next steps after Lake Placid to possibly train and participate in more World Cup or Olympics?
Yeah, so I train here in Maine in the off season. I like to train by myself. I like to be home with my family, really, is the big thing. It's just a lot of lifting weights and dry land training. And in the wintertime, our team's based out of Lake Placid, New York. And when we're not there, we're off competing around the world in the World Cups, and that's funded by the team. So we have personal sponsors for the team, as well as funding from the U.S. Olympic Committee that help keep our winter season funded. You know, and then the summertime, we kind of break off and do our own thing a little bit. And as long as you pass physical testing, and then, you know, you have to be named to the team. So I think, you know, as an athlete, I know what I have to do to make sure that I'm ready for when those opportunities come.
Well, I must say, when I met you a few weeks ago, it was great meeting you, and I think you're a great representative for Maine, and congratulations on being inducted in the Maine Sports Hall of Fame. And I think what you're doing off the luge track is just as impressive as what you're doing on with your camp. And again, your website is www.clukeyluge.com. Really wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to your sponsors and to the Maine Beer and Wine Distributors Association. I know they've been very supportive of what you're doing. And best of luck with the camp coming up.
Thank you very much.
And if you ever hear about them needing a tall, heavy-set fella for the luge, if there's some new sport where my particular aerodynamic physicality seems like it may be an advantage, call me up. I'll meet you in Lake Placid. We'll see how it goes.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Julia. You're listening to Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O on News Talk WLOB 1310 AM.